Hello? Hello? Is there anybody here? Hey! Hey! Is anybody here?
So, Mike, you told me to find something scary in my house. I own...
Why are people telling me I told them something? These are brilliant ideas. They don't come from me.
You said to bring Halloween-y things. I own...
Well, I meant like costumes.
Yeah, I own nothing.
Oh, you got a story.
But I did find a Sharpie lid. So there is a Sharpie loose in my house with toddlers.
Okay. I get it now. That is scary. Okay. So Charlotte's going to have a mustache on you.
There'll be probably some art on my walls. That is...
Okay.
Hopefully. That is scary. Happy Halloween. Halloween soon. It's Halloween season.
Our Halloween episode. Okay.
So this is an author. This person is an author.
So I won't know them.
Oh, you will know them.
I don't read. Okay.
Their stuff has been turned into movies, so you will know them.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So he was born January 3rd, 1892. He died September 2nd, 1973. He was also a well-known philologist, which is a person who studies language.
Oh, okay. A philologist?
A philologist. I think okay. I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Ashley's confused, or...
I think she knows.
Or she's... I know who it is.
Okay.
Continue.
He was in the British Army from 1915 to 1920.
If she knows, I know. I know who it is. Continue.
Who is it?
It's the author of Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
Yes!
It is.
I'm sorry, I ruined it for the fans.
That's fine. It's also inspiring. He wrote The Hobbit when he was 45.
Oh, wow.
Yep. It was published when he was 45. So,
when did The Lord of the Rings were written?
1954 to 1955. That's when they were released. But yeah. He published his first paper about Beowulf when he was 30.
That's a fascinating, that guy has impacted the world in such a dramatic way. I personally am not big into the whole Lord of the Rings type stuff.
Yeah.
I totally respect it, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's fared far better than other franchises. So Ash here on the back side of the camera, she's the biggest nut I know for that sort of thing.
The Hobbit was originally written as a children's story.
I know, he wrote it for his children, and then they're like, this is amazing, and he's like, oh, yes it is, I shall publish it. And then they were like, this is amazing, we need more, and he's like, oh, okay, I'll write Lord of the Rings. And then he had to edit The Hobbit to make, because one of the chapters about the ring and Sméagol, in the original version, Bilbo just is given it.
Yeah.
There's Azog the Defiler is mentioned in one sentence.
The Defiler?
Yeah, that's his name, Azog the Defiler, is mentioned in one sentence in The Hobbit, in the book. And I thought it was awesome that the movie turned it into, an actual thing. So, to me, hardcore fan.
Storyline.
Yeah.
Azog the Defiler is there to ruin the line of Durin.
And, it's an actual thing, but it's mentioned in one sentence.
So we got a live-action Defiler.
Yeah. You might appreciate it more.
Yeah.
And then his son Christopher Tolkien published the rest of his books after his death. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that guy. He created external stuff for this world. He created languages, worlds, globes.
Yeah. Well, he made a language, and then he's like, "Oh, you should make a book
before the book."
Yeah. He's like, "I should make a book to go with these languages.
Well, there's an author named David Eddings.
Yeah.
He did a very similar thing, but he refused to sell the rights to his books to cinema.
That's right.
He did the Belgariad and the Malorian. It's about a 12 novel series.
Okay, cool.
And you know about the kid as he grows up, and then the second series was him as an adult and passing that on. It was actually a phenomenal impact in my youth.
I
read it when I was 30. So technically, my youther than now. So anyway. So that's what it is.
J.R.R. Tolkien.
J.R.R.
John Ronald Reuel Tolkien.
Wow. Yeah, that was a good one. That's a good impact.
Reuel? Reuel? It's R-E-U-E-L. Reuel. Okay. I apologize for the mispronunciation. Reuel.
Okay.
John Ronald Reuel Tolkien. He was a good friend of C.S. Lewis. That is my last little thing. I also love C.S. Lewis.
That was an excellent choice. Yeah, that was a great choice for today.
Yeah, I remember my dad reading The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings to me growing up, and it was just that was like the first big book that I was really, really actually interested in, and that started my love of reading.
That's cool. I only read comics as a kid.
That's excellent.
So
that's reading.
Anyway, it's good to be back again. I am very much enjoying this. I hope everybody too did last week and checked out the episode Shattered.
Yeah.
It's my favorite one. I worked hard on getting the editing for that. So make sure you like, share, comment. I'm still waiting for a comment.
And subscribe.
It was like, you guys suck. I don't care. I just want somebody to comment. You know what I mean?
I'll go comment. Mike, you're
hello.
Did we have someone from Australia?
New Zealand?
That's my friend. Shout out to my friend. Thank you for listening.
I think we want to help people express themselves, mm-hmm. and find different methods of art and all that stuff. So on that note,
we have a guest today. Her name is Adan, and she is a writer of poetry. So please welcome our friend Adan. Yay! Oops. I pronounced your name right, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yay.
It's Aiden, but
Aiden.
It's all good.
Oh, Aiden?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
No, Adan is how it's actually originally pronounced, so.
Oh, okay. Yay, me. I got it right. All right.
So, Adan?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go through this so many times. So, how did you hear about us?
Well, I watched your guys' show last year. I watched... Dracula?
Oh.
What was it called?
Dracula
Rides Again. I loved it. I was laughing my butt off. I don't know if I can say that or not, but...
Absolutely,
yeah,
you can say that.
Great. And then, just being in the community, I've been on cameras about 7.5 years now.
Okay.
So I've just, like, seen you guys around doing your shows and all that. Yeah.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah. And then I saw your episode. I've been watching pretty much all of your episodes, so some of those views are from me.
Yay!
Yeah.
That's perfect. Perfect. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Super fantastic. All right, we're so happy to have somebody that's listening. And I met you at the Camrose Arts Society meeting.
Yep.
So we're both on the board there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how strong I am. I've been on the board for a year, but that was the first meeting I made it to.
Yeah.
because the Art Society is about bringing together the different art forms in Camrose, photography, painters, actors, singers, poets.
And authors and writers, yeah.
Yeah.
And we make sure that there's no limitations on how expert you need to be. You know, if you think you have an art form, you want to share that, you want to connect with other artists, we welcome you to the community. I've been on the board for just a little over a year. I joined last year with the Art Walk. I am a poet, and I do poetry about difficult topics and generational trauma. My book, I released that this year in March.
Congratulations.
It's called Gilded Jasmines. Yeah.
Oh.
It's my third book.
Did you do a reading at the Fox and Fable?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was my book launch, yeah. So yeah, that was my third book, my first collection of poetry. The first one was actually about spirituality because I am also a spiritual coach.
Okay.
And I do tarot readings and stuff too.
Oh, yeah. This is so exciting.
Mm-hmm. I have questions on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On what?
Spirituality. spirituality is different than faith.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know how to define spirituality. Maybe you can help me define that, because I never, I'm not so much a person of faith, but to say I'm spiritual feels right, but I can't define it. I could not. I think that there's more to existence than the physical being. Mm-hmm. But yet I think that there's like an electric aura of some sorts. Mm-hmm. That, and I don't even know how to explain it. Maybe I'm a hypocrite. I don't know.
You're not. I think that is the whole definition of spirituality. It's not following a certain organized religion. It's just when you believe in something, but you just don't know what it is, and you're open to exploring that, and you just have your own set of beliefs, and you just carry on with those. For me personally, it's been that I do believe in energies, absolutely. My first book is called Practical Attraction. It's about the law of attraction, and I'm a big believer in manifesting the type of life that we want. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me personally, that's the spirituality that I take into. I do believe in spirits for sure, and I do believe in a higher power. So I'm technically agnostic that way, but
That's the word I was thinking of. I was like, there's a word for this.
When, you don't really follow a certain religion, but you know that you believe in a higher power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Agnostic. Hey. I think you're agnostic there.
You might be.
and that's where the...
If you want to put a label on
it.
Well, a lot of atheists believe there's no such thing as agnostic, and that agnostic is the same as atheist. It's like an atheist says that they don't believe in God, or whatever God you want to say. But an agnostic doesn't know. So an atheist that doesn't believe in something just doesn't know there's something. So the idea that there's a blended separation in the same definition. I wouldn't have believed there was a Danielle Choate. I said, I don't believe in Danielle Choate, and then you showed up at an audition. And now, all of a sudden, there's a Danielle Choate. So it's just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of atheists will discuss that blending of it. So, and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you have three books. What is your first book is about... energies and spirituality.
Yeah.
Your second book is about...
That's actually just for women, and it's called Smart, Sexy, and Somehow Single. And it's about dating in today's world, because we no longer meet people organically. So, and I use that... So it's a very specific method that I used.
Okay.
I did a social experiment, and it was very successful. I found my husband.
Yay!
3 years that way. And it's just kind of for women who know exactly what they want in life.
Okay.
But then they keep going on these dates with people who don't know what they want yet, and it just kind of helps you get through that process faster, weed out the ones who are not on the same page as you.
Excellent.
All the books are available on Amazon, so you could just order directly through there. Yeah.
That's wicked.
Hmm.
So are you suggesting that if a man were to read this, they would get nothing out of it?
Probably not. I mean, they could apply this to women, but I feel like they already play a lot of those games with us already. So
it's okay.
Yeah. It's kind of Uno reverse on them.
I'm not suggesting anything on that, you know. I mean, you know, maybe some insight on women is what men need.
That's a whole other topic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I wrote these kind of while I was exploring myself as a writer on what my medium should be.
Okay.
And then I landed on poetry because I was like, okay, this is the most intense art form for me. And I always write when I'm either, you know, suffering or in pain or just very happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, this is the perfect artistic expression for me personally.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
David White, you know him?
I've heard the name, yeah.
And it's called Just Outside Yourself.
Hmm.
And it's a wonderful poem, and it's just outside yourself that's where you need to be. Just outside yourself, that's where you need to be. Half a step from self-forgetting, and the rest will be restored with what you meet. Mm-hmm. To me, that poem meant about going beyond what you think you're safe. Yeah. Stepping outside of your world, entering into what I'll say an uncomfortable place, and learning to get comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then finding another place that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then getting comfortable and there. And
yeah.
growth.
Just yeah, growth. Place so of growth.
You're here for a specific reason, aren't you?
Yeah, it's Halloween, so I think we could talk about. Because as a spiritual coach, I've had a lot of clients ask me questions about bad spirits or bad energies attaching to themselves. And I was thinking maybe we could talk about if any we've had any superstitious or supernatural experiences in our lives. And then I could maybe tell you guys a little bit about what you could do to protect yourself energetically in that sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a very clear vision of what I'm, what my story is.
Well, you can start because I have to think about this.
I wasn't thinking about this too much until you mentioned it today, yeah. And it's like there's a few times in my life where things have popped up that were very, we'll say, odd dreams and whatnot. The only known superstition I have. Which is not relevant to this story, is if I'm a machinist, so I work with digital readouts, and it's usually like 4 or 5 digital. If I land on a 666, I will move it. I'll go 667 or 666 or 665. I don't know why, it's stupid, but I do it. That's the only superstition I have.
Sorry. That's always a good reason.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the movie. Or internet.
The internet tells me so.
They're never wrong.
Because of a movie, I won't drive behind a log truck.
That's fair.
Me neither.
That's fair.
I think my distance. Yep.
I think that was like the first with our generation.
Yeah. The final destination.
Yeah.
Final
destination. Yeah. I watched like a part of that movie. I was like, I'm done.
Never.
I'm done.
In tanning beds.
Oh, God. Okay.
That's why.
So my story.
Yes.
I'm one of 4 kids in the family. I had a sister who was born exactly 10 years before me. Same day, same month, same everything. 1959, August 19th, 1969, August 19th. We were both artists. We were both the weird ones. Both my other brothers are a little more, I don't know, they're not so much artistic or anything.
Yeah.
They're talented, they're smart and all that stuff, but I've never seen them, you know, in the creative sense.
Yeah.
So my sister, she passed away when I was 11, giving birth to her second child. And so sad times, and you know, you get over it or deal with it or however. So many, many, many years later, and I was saying probably in my early 20s, late teens, I would have these weird dreams, and I'd be dreaming about her as if I was talking to her and that sort of thing. And then now I don't know how real it is, but I've heard about sleep paralysis, where you kind of wake up but you can't move.
Yeah,
I've had that occur to me several occasions during a certain span of my life, like when I was late teens, early 20s, and I would wake up, but I couldn't move, and then I'd be thinking, well, I was just thinking about my sister, and I was dreaming about my sister, and then you'd finally wake up. So that is probably that's the story, the spooky story.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, sleep paralysis can be very scary. And actually, when we lose a loved one, sometimes their spirits can get attached to us, especially if they died or passed away early on in life. There might be a lot of unfinished business, and I think we see this in pop culture a lot too. But they might still follow you around to kind of live through you sometimes, or just to still be with you if they're not ready to separate from you just yet. But that can actually cause a lot of negative effects on you, like sleep paralysis. And they don't really know that. They're not doing that intentionally. But yeah, that could definitely happen. And it's very real because you hear that a lot.
Oh.
Yeah. Or, My spooky story is kind of about that too. So a little backstory. I grew up in Pakistan. Okay. I was born and raised there until I was 17, and we're very, like, superstitious people, yes, just in general. And then I was in Malaysia for a bit with my mom, and my mom's kind of religious. And this is when she was trying to figure out if we should immigrate to Canada or Norway.
Yeah.
And she wanted a spiritual guide to kind of, like, tell her.
Yeah.
So we went to this priest, right? A Muslim priest. Yeah. And he basically told her that we would not be going anywhere because we had a generational curse. Oh. And it was because my great-great-grandmother had done a, like, black magic sort of spell.
Okay.
Because she thought her daughter was unhappy in her marriage. Oh. To get her divorced. And basically, black magic is kind of making a deal with, yeah, bad spirits.
Yeah.
And what that did and what that meant, the deal was, from what he told us, was that her daughter would have the same life, like she would also get divorced, and then my mom would have similar life, and then her child will have similar life,
oh,
and then our kids will have similar life. It will keep going.
Okay.
And there will be a lot of, like, that also includes a lot of, like, physical abuse,
yeah,
a lot of domestic violence, like, all of those things will follow them.
Oh.
That was the price to have that separation happen. So he told us that we can't really move on in life until he ends that curse.
Yeah.
And he gave us an appointment for 2 months later to go there and have him basically perform an exorcism on us, which I, like, now I think was kind of cool, but at that time it was very scary.
I bet.
Yeah. And what happened, like, I think I was, like, 14 years old.
Okay.
And it was me, my sister, and my mom. And Malaysia itself is, like, a rainforest, so it's very spooky and quiet at, yeah, night anyways. And they're all very spiritual people there, too.
Yeah.
So basically one day, like, I don't know if it was just me because now he's told me, he's put it in my head that, yeah, there's someone following us, or if it actually happened, I still don't have any explanation for that to this day. But I was praying, I was sitting, and, you know, like, I used to be, like, a good practicing Muslim back then. I was a kid, right? Following into my parents',
yeah,
footsteps.
Yeah.
I'm not anymore. But you basically, you bend down, you pray, and then you get back up and you go back down.
Yeah.
And I went down, and when I got up, I saw someone standing right there, like, from the corner of my
eye. Oh.
I went back down. I stayed there. I just prayed really loud, and nobody was home. My mom was still at work. So when she got home, that's when I got up, and I was just so scared.
Yeah.
And for, like, 2 months until that appointment, we all just slept every single night just holding hands.
Yeah.
And then he did his thing, like, we went to his office, he sat us down turn by turn, and he recited a lot of, like, what do you call them, like, from the Quran, like, verses from the Quran.
Okay.
And I just remember being really sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then very shortly after that, like, within a year, it kind of felt like all the financial blockages were gone from our life, all the problems and confusions were gone, things were sorting themselves out. And we moved here. And,
oh, okay.
But yeah, like, that was, like, a very, like, scary time. And a thing with that is, it kind of, I find it, I don't know if that curse is gone. I don't know it.
Yeah.
Like, to this day, I question it because you never know who's really legit in that field, right?
Right.
But I hope he was. But yeah, a few years ago when I was new to Canada, like, 7 years ago, I was living alone, and one of the biggest thing that happens with bad spirits is that they look for weak people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're emotionally struggling, or you have unprocessed trauma, or you're isolated, you are more susceptible to attracting those,
yeah,
because they need someone who can, you know, easily be influenced. And even bad spirits, sorry.
No, I just, you said that, and I thought about hypnotism.
Yeah.
People who are strong-willed cannot be hypnotized.
Exactly. Yeah, because they're mentally.
I can't be hypnotized. So just so you know.
I can be hypnotized very easily.
I'm never going to find out because I never put myself in that position.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so I used to live alone, and I would wake up every day with, like, claw marks on my back,
oh,
and bruises all over my body, and that's when I had sleep paralysis.
Okay.
And this was probably, like, the lowest vibrational time in my life. Like, I was drinking, I was going out all the time, there was just, like, working and studying all the time, and then partying whatever the leftover time was.
Yeah.
So it was not, like, a very, like, good time for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when I used to have sleep paralysis, I used to see a demon literally sitting on me. And it was just scary because, like, you can't move. Or it just felt like that I was just sleeping where I am. I am unable to move and I'm seeing things happen, like, in front of me.
Yeah.
Like, I saw my whole house on fire and I'm just sitting there unable to move.
Yeah.
So you should stop believing in spirits. And I was like, what? And I was like, how do you just change something that you believe in, right?
Like, how do you
give up?
Yeah.
He's like, stop thinking about it and stop fixating on it. Just go about your life and distract yourself when you have those thoughts. And I was like, okay. And so I guess that's kind of hypnotism in a way, because he gave me this idea to control my own thoughts.
Yeah.
And, I guess it's not really hypnosis, but it's controlling your thoughts, right?
I associate that with mindful meditation.
Yeah.
Meditation in many forms.
Being mindful.
Yeah.
So I basically started watching TV when I went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I never felt alone. Like, I had something going in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I have the TV show still going on in my dreams, and it went away. And it really did. Like, it was gone until I moved to Camrose. And then it happened again. So I feel like I constantly have to be in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, like, then I got into spirituality. I became a spiritual coach. I got my certification in that. I started doing tarot readings and connecting with more positive spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I started, like, looking into my own spirit guides. I started looking into how to have good spiritual hygiene.
Yeah.
And since then, I have had no issues at all. Yeah.
That's really cool.
So it's like, if you just take control of your spirituality, it can actually give you some sort of dominance over them. Because those spirits, bad spirits, definitely feed off of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You said something earlier that you believe that you can manifest your future. And I think that's... I agree. I think it's... I would put it in different words where I think that you can believe in yourself and you work hard enough and you keep continually progressing towards your thoughts, your dreams, and whatever. That is the exact same. It's manifest or work hard.
Yeah.
Kind of
synonymous
type thing.
Exactly. Yeah, it is kind of. But then there's also, like, you guys talked about on one of your podcasts about toxic positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have to, I feel like with law of attraction, like, the reason why I wrote my first book is because I wanted to tell people to not fall into that trap.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, well, I'm doing everything, but I set my intention, I wrote down everything, why is it not working? And then it's like, because you're falling into the trends of it, rather than just actually believing, like, taking that energy and, like, believing in yourself, that the fact that you have that already in there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were like, oh, okay, I want this. But then inside, they don't really believe that they can actually do that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about working hard.
Mm-hmm.
You could work hard, but what if you're demotivated and don't believe in yourself?
And I think that lends itself, too. It's like there's mothers and whoever out there. You can be anything you want to be if you work hard enough.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous statement to me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, anybody... You can do anything you want to a capable level. Even if you did something poorly, eventually you're going to get better.
You're going to get better.
But, you know, your mom will just never be 6 foot tall.
No
matter how hard she works, much you want, you know, and some people are genetically the, you know, can you fix a bad voice to become a brilliant singer? Maybe. I mean,
there's a lot of work to go into that. Like, there's a lot of work and dedication.
And that's where, like, you got to work extra hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not everyone is naturally talented at everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm incredibly clumsy. I am not going to be a dancer. I know this.
Okay. But you could probably work past that to some degree and get proficient.
Break. Work on your balance.
If
breakdown.
I would stop hurting myself. But just by standing, that would be great. That would be a first step.
I'm gonna scare Danielle, interpretive dance now.
But I do think that is an important message that believe you got to believe that you're capable of it. You can't necessarily fall into the trap that because I work hard it will come. But you have to work hard. You have to believe in your passions. You have to believe in what you want to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you just have to keep going, no matter. You have to keep those limiting self-beliefs down. And I think that is the hard part, right? Even with you guys doing a podcast or going up on that stage, I'm sure there's a lot of anxiety around that all the time. But then you have to just remember that I have to keep going. This is what I chose for myself, and I believe in me. Mm-hmm. And people who actually resonate with us or our mission, they will find themselves drawn to you. They will find their way to you. You don't need to like work on getting that or getting that approval from other people, right?
Yeah.
You just have to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. I kind of have a funny story about like manifesting things. Yeah. So I have a son, and my oldest daughter, she's really into like the arts and theater, and she really wants her brother to do these things with her.
Yeah.
And he's like, I will only be in a play if X, Y, Z can happen. So then, guess what? X, Y, Z happened, and he was in the play.
Yeah.
And it's happened to him like 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore, Mom.
Now I need a B and a W as well. B, W, X, Y, Z. If all those exist.
Yeah. He was like, Mom, I will only be in this play if you're in there with me, and if I can have Maisie standing next to me, and if I can have so and so. And then he's like, oh, Mom, all these things were met.
Aww.
Now I have to be in the play.
How old is your son?
He's 6.
Oh, okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then we had like a church thing going on, and he was like, Mom, I will only be in the nativity story if I can be a king. Because you know what? I don't think there's any kings in this play. I started laughing. I was like, buddy, there's 3. And he's like, oh. And he was a king, and he was happy. But it was so funny. He's like, I will only do these things if...
Yeah, and that's always...
And it happens up. It works up every single time.
I hope my kids into theater.
It's fun.
Oh, it's a powerful tool. I learned late in life the value of theater. I mean, it teaches you the public speaking.
Yeah.
Teaches you to be uncomfortable in front of other people.
Yeah.
It
teaches you to take a pause.
Yeah.
Ooh, can we have an awkward pause?
Yeah. You said earlier, Mike, like it's with your mindfulness, it's putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation but still being in control. Like that's huge.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And theater gives so many different venues, perspectives to other people. Like some people, for me, I get onto stage, and then that allows me to express feelings and emotions that I normally don't, right?
Yeah.
Because from my perception, I think, our bodies are all energy, and it's really, you can't really define our consciousness, right? And I think there's no reason why our energy couldn't exist without an obvious tangible form. Then there's no reason why they couldn't. So there could be that idea where this energy kind of flows. So I don't know. I just never really have. And I've had dreams where I thought I told the future, but it didn't turn out. So I don't know. So, okay. But they were so weird dreams, right?
Yeah.
I remember one dream. I was going down the middle of a highway in a wheelchair. I could see the lines going by. I knew my dad was dead, and my brother was chasing me in a car. I was going down a hill in a desert.
Oh,
and it was just like so vivid. And it's just like, you says, that's got to mean something.
Mm.
And then nothing really came out. I'm not in a wheelchair. My knees suck, but...
Like, it's not going to be an exact...
It won't be literal, yeah.
Like, it's not a literal thing. Like, the wheelchair could mean something completely different.
I'm being held back or crippled or
something. Yeah,
yeah.
It could mean shattered. It could have been previewed to me.
The subconscious does so many crazy things.
Yeah, yeah. And it's...
Or tells you so many crazy things.
Yeah, dreams are a big way for that to be connected. I personally do believe in the energy thing, but I feel like that whoever the higher power is, or God, that's the energy and the universe is their way of communicating with us. Mm-hmm. That's my way of looking at things. A lot of my poems are about how much shame they instill into women, mm-hmm. and how much blame there is for everything. Like, I remember, like, I grew up in a well-off family, I will say that, so I didn't, like, struggle financially or anything, but just mentally there was a lot of torture. Yeah, and there was definitely a lot of physical abuse, and it's okay, it's acceptable at that time, especially for my generation. I think nowadays it's less so that parents don't hit their kids anymore.
Yeah.
But it will, and it's
Pakistan
not.
Or
yeah,
or
in Pakistan, yeah.
I mean,
here too, I'm sure here too. Yeah, I have a lot of friends. I don't think I have a single female friend who hasn't been traumatized or abused in one way or another. So,
yeah.
I think it's just the culture. I'm just glad that it's changing, though.
Yeah.
And we can talk about mental health without these stigmas.
You like horror movies?
Yeah, kind of.
We're at Halloween. Horror movies?
No.
Have you watched any horror movies?
Yes.
Which ones did you hate the least?
All of them.
I couldn't even like finish watching Final Destination. Like, I think the only one that I've sat down, and it's not really like a horror movie, it's like Paranormal Activities, the first one.
That's classified as horror.
Is it?
That is horror. Documentary.
That documentary horror, that is like the only one I've ever sat through, and like it's like only like an hour and like 20 minutes, I think. Yes. It took me 3 hours to watch this thing. So like,
yeah.
I watched a movie a week ago. My son was recommending it, and it fits right in with the whole spiritual thing. It's called Talk to Me.
Talk to Me.
They find this hand. It's this hand just like that, and it's like a sculpture kind of thing, and it looks all whatever. And then all these kids, they find out if they shake the hand, they grab the hand, and they like that, and then they get possessed by somebody on the other side. And then so they all think this is super cool, and they all take turns, and then they go around, and then some of the kids get beat up or do stupid shit and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's a really good movie. I don't know if I could if I would mention the ending, but the ending is really good. Each kid, and then at the end there's this spoiler for Talk to Me. So
I have stress.
So one of the girls that's going through this is because the one brother was possessed in real time, and because they blew up the candle in the wrong order.
Oh.
So he was trapped, and so he was almost killing himself, and she had to rescue him. So she knocked him out of the wheelchair. She was supposed to kill him, throw him out the window. She got past that, and they both fell into the highway. Mm-hmm. And she gets up, and she's all bloody and whatever, and walks away and goes. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the movie, you see a whole new bunch of people from a different country, and the one guy grabs the hand and looks over, and it's her.
Oh,
so she died, and then she's now part of the hand. It was like,
I don't like this at all.
It was actually really good. I'm
like reverse monkey paw.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's...
What do you guys watch?
What's that?
I don't think I've watched any of those.
Monkey Paw is a legend about the paw of a monkey, and you hold it, and it brings down a finger each time it grants you a wish, but the wish is always...
Corrupted. Okay, I remember this now. Okay.
Awful.
Yeah, I remember this.
Downloading from LimeWire.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Like, I've watched like a few scary things, but like, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many different types of horror movies. Yeah, you got the gore porn, like Saw. Those were kind of fun.
I can't sit through that.
Oh.
You don't like the gore porn?
No,
never.
I
get the intellectual thrillers. Like
I like
the
thrillers.
Death in the Window.
Oh, yes. The 12. No, what is it?
Nope. But yeah, you're thinking
the window.
13 Ghosts.
13 Ghosts.
I think it's honestly called The Back Window or something.
Sleepy Hollow. That one's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like Sleepy Hollow. I like. I actually like dark horror comedies.
Yeah,
I can do those.
Horror comedies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Dark Shadows for Johnny Depp.
That was so funny.
Or like, I watch it so many times.
Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, Shaun of the Dead. Yeah. Is it a horror?
It's a parody.
It's like
it's
you know what? Like, that's the extent of my horror movies.
Okay, so that is about the easiest thing. If you can comment what's your favorite horror movie or favorite genre, you could do that, couldn't you? Everybody can do that. Just you know, comment on, you know, Spotify or YouTube or Amazon or iHeart too now. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not.
iHeart Radio.
Oh,
I didn't realize.
Did you tell me that?
No,
yes.
Probably.
Yes, we got on to there too. So.
That's wicked.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, the horror movie, well, I used to like horror movies. I don't watch them anymore. The last one I watched was Conjuring. And after that, I just stopped watching horror movies. But my favorite one has been... the Grudge movies. Those are so creepy. I still don't look into any dark corners ever. Have you guys watched that?
No. That sounds like a terrible thing.
The hands come out of the hair.
Yeah, that one. That was really big growing up. Oh, my God. That was a bad movie. An Exorcism of Emily Rose. If you don't want to sleep again for a few months.
But I've heard that it's really, really good. It's...
Yeah. The ones
insane. Yeah,
I get nightmares easily.
Yeah. I like psychological thrillers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Split.
Split was good.
Well, that was really
Split
good.
Was good.
Oh my god, and he was such a good actor.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
he has range.
It's part of
I was sorry, I had to
trilogy.
Yeah, I really had to think about that.
That's like when you say method actor, that's what pops up first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Split.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good movie.
Last time one where that guy's like a whole bunch of different personalities or something.
Yeah.
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 So you guys said Split, my first thought was, oh, Face Off?
That's also what I thought of as well. I was like, this is not...
I don't think Face Off is a horror.
Okay. What was the first time you remember being scared? Not unconscious put yourself in a situation where your intent was to be scared and you just went too far. As a kid, we had an album called The Golden Arm. Where is my golden arm? And it was a story about this husband and wife, and she had lost her arm, and he loved her so much he had built her a golden arm. He gave her an arm made of gold, and then she died, and he had buried her, and then he laid in bed at night, and man, there's a lot of money on that arm. I can get the arm. If I can sell the arm, I can have money. And so he digs up and grabs the arm and sells it. And then he's haunted. Where is my golden arm? And then at the end of this album, when you're a little kid, it's like, oh my god! And it's just like a bunch of kids just jump right out of the Turn on lights. That was, where's my golden arm? Check that out. Turn out the lights. Lean back and enjoy. It is the funnest, scariest thing I can ever think of.
I kind of remember that. Or something like that. And I remember crying.
Yeah.
I got scared very easily as a child.
Yeah.
Like, everything scared me.
I was very brave as a kid. For me, first time being actually scared, like, the supernatural stuff, we used to do a lot of plays in school, right?
Yeah.
And that was always, like, you will rehearse or practice after school.
Yeah.
Right? And for me and all the group of, like, the kids, we were doing... we were prepping for a play we were supposed to do, and nobody's in the school, and our teacher went somewhere, and she's like, okay, I need to take this call, I'll be back.
Yeah.
We were, I think, like 6-7 years old. We were just kind of in the classroom, we were sitting, and we were like, oh, let's call spirits, right? Because we saw it in the movie, we were doing the Ouija board thing. We didn't have a board, we just like made a makeshift one with like writing and stuff, and we were all doing that with our fingers on like top of this glass, and all of a sudden like wind got started like blowing up, and the you know, like those screens on that flew down, like it like I guess the wind blew it off.
Yeah.
And it fell down, and we all just screamed, and we just sat in corners and for a bit, and we were like, let's hope our teacher doesn't find out we just did that.
Yeah.
But that's all we talked about for the next week.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was really scary. But now I think it was funny.
the spirit was probably like, ha!
Stop calling me, I'm sleeping.
Go away.
I've done my fair share.
Well, I think we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah.
What do we want to tell people? Is there anything you want to tell anybody about what you do, the stories you read? Last thoughts.
Last thoughts. Last thoughts on Halloween. This is obviously if you guys do believe in spirituality, focus on your spiritual hygiene. Look that up. And if you have that, you are less likely to be attacked or be attached to any bad spirits. If you are experiencing anything negative in your life and just trying to work on that, like Mike said, mindful meditation helps a lot with that. So definitely focus on that. But that would be my end note. Yeah.
Mindful meditation.
Mindful meditation and spiritual hygiene. Excellent.
Damn.
What?
Do you have any thoughts?
Do I have thoughts?
I have anything relevant to...
Anything relevant?
Yeah.
I hope you found a Sharpie.
I hope that Sharpie. I hope my husband finds the Sharpie.
That is scary. Kids.
I guess we'll see what my house looks like.
Yeah.
Yay!
Perfect.
And you know what? I don't know what I got going on. I got too much going on. Actually, everything's winding down for us.
You got your show coming up.
Well, Infinite Imagination, where we put the Bailey stage on for the Augustana Alumni Kids. There's 4 plays. And we got 2 performances by Drag Miss Viper. And it's at the Bailey Theater next weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You can get
So Halloween night.
Yes. No dinner.
And then November 1st with dinner.
Yes. And second.
And the second? And
with dinner, yeah.
Yes.
With dinner, okay.
So you get dinner theater, or you can come sit in the balcony or whatever.
Yeah.
It's called Tricks and Treats Kooky Cabaret. You can get your
tickets. Come see Danielle's mom.
Yeah.
Come see my mom.
Yeah, you can get your tickets at baileytheater.com. Something like that, and we'll add the link in the whatever. Mind you, you'll be getting this on Thursday. You can get tickets at the door.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing. So that we're preparing for our murder mystery on the Battle River Express. We got Kayleen and I and a bunch of other people. That's our improv group. So we're winding down the season. We're building up for next year. Give us a follow. Raging Imagination for your mental health stories and talking about what you want to talk about.
Yeah, we want to hear your stories.
Yeah.
We want to share your stories.
Yes.
If you want
comments,
to
perform, people, comments.
Yes. If you want to perform your stories, that's Infinite Imagination. Come and write a story for us. We'll tell a story. We'll do it on stage. We'll let you perform. So.
Or find someone to perform your story.
Yeah. So.
Or dramatic read if it's not a performable story.
Okay.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah. So I guess happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah, happy Halloween.
Trick or treat. Smell my feet. No, don't smell my feet.
Great. I hope I didn't monopolize the conversation. Hello? Hello? Is there anybody here? Hey! Hey! Is anybody here?
Okay, so my son has told me that there's a ghost, and he's seen the ghost in the basement of the Bailey, so Kayleen and I are gonna go check it out. Off we go.
We dare.
Speaker. Oh my god!
Oh my god! I have stress.